Carmen Q here with Mike Kruko, one of the Giants broadcasters and one of the most beloved. I wanted to start by asking you, you know, it's been a really long season, and I think it's kind of been two kind of back-to-back long seasons of the Giants not playing as well as they have in the past. And one of the things I think I wonder most is, how do you keep your positivity during a season that can be hard, trying, very long, and just kind of difficult at times?
Well, every season's long. It just, when you win, it just seems like it goes by faster. And I think, you know, last year was a year where the bubble got popped early with the injury to Madison Bumgarner. And, you know, it wasn't a baseball injury. It was something from off the field. And it really sapped the strength of the team. And it's amazing how we always talk about chemistry and how that forges together and that makes a team strong. And when you have that chemistry, you overcome little things. But when you lose that chemistry, you know, adversity can overwhelm you. And last year it showed up in the win-loss column. They lost 98 games. This year I think is completely different. I don't think of it as a lost season. I think this is a year where they were challenged with a lot of significant injuries. Three guys in their rotation go out. They've had about 10 guys that have spent a considerable time on the disabled list, and those are stomach punches for a team. You can only overcome so many, and during a long season, you get exposed, and your weaknesses get exposed, and it's kind of happening now. But look what happened this year. I mean, you out of necessity, you had to bring guys up early. Suarez wasn't ready to come up here till next year. I mean, that was the plan. Mm-hmm. He comes up, and guess what? He did great. He's now a fixture. He's going to be here a long time. Derek Rodriguez, who's talking about him? Nobody. Now, that's all we talk about. What a nice surprise. Chris Stratton, he has overcome a major mechanical problem during the middle of a season where he started out and he was one of the rotational stalwarts, and then he gets into a mechanical funk, and he's 2.5 months before he gets squared away. Next time he gets into a funk, it's not going to take him that long.
Right.
So he really progressed nicely. Now he's one of the best pitchers in the National League. As evidenced by a shutout last night. But so there's three arms in the rotation. No longer do you go into a season thinking you're going to have five guys in your rotation. You need depth. So you think of terms of we need seven guys. Well, guess what? When you start getting guys back next year, like Bumgarner's going to pitch a whole season, hopefully. Samardzija comes back. At some point they're going to get Cueto back. Now you've got some depth.
Yeah.
Depth that you have no problem giving the ball to, and you're going to think you're going to win when you go out there. And they also developed Duggar, mm-hmm. Slater. These are guys who are going to be players now. Not to mention Maranta. How good has he been?
So good, yeah.
And now you're looking at Ray Black. He's ready to go. Will Smith, he'd never closed before. They didn't even know if he's going to be able to pitch ever again after his Tommy John. Now, to me, he looks like he's going to be a closer for a while. So I think this year it's difficult. They just had an 11-game losing streak. They were .500 prior to that. .500 after taking those emotional hits. So I don't think of this as a year that is anything close to what they went through last year. In fact, I think that they found that they've got some depth in their organization, which will be very, very big come next year.
Yeah, and I think that's what people love about you is I'm obviously on Twitter and I hear kind of both sides of it, but I love hearing the silver lining of things, and I think you're one of the people that does it best, delivers it the best.
Well, the reality is, and thank you for that, Carmen, it's the reality of this game is when you get to the big leagues, that's when your education starts. That's when we as fans evaluate. When the guy's really at his most vulnerable time, we evaluate that guy. We evaluate his arm strength, his speed, his leg speed,
right.
How hard he throws, how hard he hits the ball. But what we don't often take into consideration is that this guy is going to get better.
Yeah.
He's going to learn the game up here, and now he's going to apply it, and he's going to get better. And to me, that's the most exciting thing about this game. And we've had some really good stories here. So from my perspective, it's easy to be pretty excited about what I've seen this year and what it means for next year.
And I think your broadcasts are really entertaining because, you know, Marty and I do the post-game show, and sometimes you can be struggling for content, but it seems like you guys always have something to talk about. And when I come up here, I see you guys preparing, and it's so weird to me because I feel like veterans like you guys just naturally can do it. How much preparation goes into your broadcasts at this point now that you're a seasoned veteran?
Well, we were blessed. Dwayne and I, we had Hank Greenwald, who really was taught us a lot. I mean, he's our mentor. And Hank would say it all the time, just because you have a bad game doesn't mean you can have a bad broadcast. And it really is the truth. And when you start out in this business, if you have a bad game, you get quiet. But you don't know how to talk around a bad game. And it really is your job as a broadcaster. And the one thing you learn is that if your team's not playing well, the other team is. You point that out. And I think that when your team eventually comes around, on those days when they didn't do well, and you pointed out that there was talent on the other side of the field, and you talked about how good they were, well, there comes a time when the Giants are going to beat that team. And now it means a little bit more because your fan base is familiar with that opponent as to why they're good and why that team is winning. And when your team beats them, it means a little bit more. So there's always something to talk about that's positive in this game. Plus, you know, we've been around this game a long time. Something always reminds you of something else, another season, whether it be in the big leagues with another team or in the minor leagues or college. I mean, it's baseball. We're playing a game, and something will make you laugh. Somebody in the stands will make you laugh. Even when you're down 9 runs, there are things that you can talk about that are relevant and interesting, and we try to find those things.
Yeah, and that segues great into my next question, which is your guys' sense of humor is phenomenal. Like, I'm always laughing. I'm learning, too, but I'm laughing a lot when I listen to you guys on the broadcast. If I know it's like picking your kids, but if you had to pick the guy who made you laugh the most out of all your partners, who would you pick? Who tickles you the most?
Well, Kai. I mean, Kai's one of the funniest guys I've ever met in my life, but he's been doing that to me since 1983 when we'd sit on the bench together. I mean, he'd make me laugh to where I'm sitting in their dugout. We're down 8 runs, and I'm blowing snot bubbles because I'm laughing so hard. I'm trying to hold my giggle in. Oh, my gosh. He's hysterical. But I've been blessed. I mean, John Miller and Dave Fleming, they have great sense of humor.
They're hilarious.
They are hilarious. And they enjoy humor within the game. And if something is funny, you know, they'll laugh. They'll enhance. They like to see you laugh when they have a good story. And I think that's one of the keys to our broadcast team is we like to entertain each other. And, you know, like some of the really great nights that we look forward to are the dinners we have on the road. And, you know, not as many as we would like. But when we do get together, it's always a 3-hour meal. And we laugh hard. I mean, it's just great. We're lucky. We realize that we are lucky because we all like each other. And, you know, we all like what we do. We hear broadcasters all the time. I'm sure you've heard it.
Yeah.
As you walk by in the hall and they say, hey, let's hope we get a fast game. And it ticks us off. It's like, where else would you rather be? And that's kind of our deal. So we wouldn't want to be anywhere else than where we are right here at the ballpark.
I mean, your passion for baseball is so apparent in pretty much everything that you do. What is it about the game that you love so much? I know you obviously played the game, but I feel like it stems from somewhere deep inside of you.
Well, it's a ballpark. I mean, you get to the ballpark, and it's not just the players on the field. It's the people in the stands. And, you know, this is a pretty special place. It's a happy place. I'll never forget, we had Carlos Santana. They were giving a Carlos Santana bobblehead away one weekend, and so he came up and I got to sit there in the booth with Carlos Santana, who's one of my heroes on the guitar. I mean, the guy's just amazing, right?
Yeah.
And he was talking to us about, he said, this place is a holy place. Talking about AT&T. Mm-hmm. He said, I've been around the world. I've played in holy places. I've played in Stonehenge, and I've played in, you know, these places in Greece and South America that were holy places. This is a holy place. People come to this ballpark, and they bring good attitude with them. They bring an anticipation of a good game, but they bring good attitude. And so we plug into that. And then the story of the game is always interesting to us. There's a story. The Giants, you know, obviously it was a great story in last night's ball game. They snapped 11-game losing streak. Well, there's a great story here tonight in that you've got this Germán Márquez who's going to be an ace with this Rockies team, and he's just got nasty stuff. And then you've got Madison Bumgarner, who's an established stud in this league. So those two are going head-to-head. And the story is really going to be about those two guys, as competitive as Bumgarner is.
Right.
We'll start telling that story. And when it unfolds and it happens and you let your audience see through your eyes what you see, and if you can explain that story, set that story up, and then all of a sudden that story unfolds. Well, to me, that's magic. And that's what this game allows all of us to be able to do. So that's pretty good. That's a pretty cool place to go to work.
For sure. Yeah. And the other thing I think other than kind of broadcasting that you're known for is heartfelt speeches. And I've heard a lot of them live. And, you know, I watched the one where you did, you were here for Barry Bonds' retirement, the number retirement ceremony, and you didn't have notes and you just kind of spoke from the heart. And I feel like that's what you do so well. Do you have one that stands out to you? You've done World Series parades, Willie Mack speeches. What is like the number one that stands out to you?
Well, the parades are the one. It's such a culmination of a long season, a long postseason, just anxious anticipation. When you see the bonding of a community that is so diverse as ours and become one force, regardless of your politics or your religion or whatever, that's a very powerful thing, because usually it's a catastrophe that unites our communities. But when it's something good and it's positive and it's fun and we all get on board with it, it's a very powerful thing. And I never really felt that I could pre-write the feeling of a day or an event. You just go live it and you just experience it. And you talk about what you feel because everybody there is feeling the same thing. So I think the power of those times when we stood out on City Hall and looked out over the sea of orange and black and the magnitude and the strength of the people that were there, being able to speak about what we saw and about what we felt, those are the things I think we're all most proud of. It's amazing when you stand up there and a million people get quiet at the same time, they suck the air right out of the sky. And it is unbelievable, because think about it, in history, Who's got to speak in front of a million people?
Yeah.
Not many people.
Yeah.
And we got to do it, and we got to talk about something that we went through and that we experienced, and we all shared it together. So I think those are the things that we're most proud of.
Yeah, and I'm so inspired just listening to you talk, and I always am when I listen to you, and I think that's one of the reasons you're one of the only people who have won two Willie Mack Awards back-to-back. That's obviously really impressive. I know that's coming up at the end of the season, and they've still got to pick who that's going to be for 2018, but what does winning the Willie Mack actually mean in your own words?
Well, anytime you get an award that is given to you or voted, you're voted in by way of the support of your teammates and your coaches and your managers. And now it's even more important because the fans are being able to vote and have a voice as to who wins it. That's pretty strong mojo right there. And that just, I mean, that's what we all strive to have when you walk in a major league clubhouse as a player, is the respect for the people you play ball for. Respect that you played the game right, that you honored the game, as Tim Flannery would say, and at the end of the year, you know, it's a long, hard year, and when they acknowledge your effort and they give you applause, that's pretty amazing, and those are the two things that I'm most proud of that I've ever won.
I mean, it seems like the best award that you could possibly win, to be honest with you.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is, and all the guys who've ever won it, they're humbled by it when it comes your way. And it's just great now when we have the ceremony the last Friday of the season, when the award winner gets the award. And it's so cool now because he's going to get it from Willie McCovey, which
right.
even makes it better. And you look into his eye when he comes out and picks that award up and he feels the weight of what that award means. That's very cool. So I can't wait for that day.
Yeah, and you were talking about the guys who have gotten it, who have been humbled by it. One that I think of is Hunter Pence, and his tenure here with the Giants is almost over. And I think he's meant a lot to the organization. You know, his Willie Mack speech is one of the best I've ever heard. How do you think the Giants should honor him? Because it's a little awkward because you don't know if he's, you know, what's going to become of it. But what do you think the Giants should do to kind of thank Hunter Pence for what he's done?
Well, just by saying thank you. I mean, that really will mean more to him than anything. And the Giants will never let Hunter Pence go. Hunter Pence is going to be a Giant from now until forever. That's just the way that the Giants are. And this community will always applaud when he comes into a room or look him in the eye and shake his hand and tell him thank you and be sincere. What greater gift is there than that? I mean, and he's earned it. I mean, truly an iconic figure. And he did it in his way, which really became the Giants' way.
Yeah, he really revolutionized, I feel like, that era of the Giants team and everything like that. And, you know, I don't want to take up more of your time. I just have one more question to wrap it up. And we talked about it in the beginning, but 2018 has not been one that led to October baseball necessarily. But when you look back, what will you remember from this season?
Oh, I love this team. The perseverance that they've had, taking all those injuries and pressing on. And never once did they make an excuse. I'd go down there, and you'd try and bait them, and they wouldn't do it. You know, this is really tough without Bumgarner. You know, well, then we just need to get better. And that was the reaction that they all had. To me, that was unbelievable. And then when another guy would go down, Longoria would go down, you know, nobody made an excuse. Yep. They always felt that we should be able to win. And I love that about this team. This team didn't win enough games to go to the playoffs, but they won a lot of respect, and it will help them get to the playoffs next year.
That's great to hear and very encouraging. Thank you so much for your time, Krug.
Anytime.
More coming up on KMBR 680, the Sports Leader.